Reading from God's holy word this morning, we're reading from the third prophet Isaiah. We're in the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and we are reading verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of all the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. And our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's church letter to the church in Ephesus. We're in Ephesians in the third chapter, the first 12 verses. Hear what Paul teaches. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew. We are in the second chapter. You'll recognize this as the continuation of our Christmas story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ, the Hebrew word would be Messiah, where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Matthew is the only gospel that has the story of the Magi. Now, if you were only ever to go to church on Christmas, you wouldn't know that particularly. Because at Christmas, we kind of put them all together, don't we? Luke is the only gospel that has the story of the shepherds. Okay. Mark doesn't even have a birth story. He just starts with the baptism of Jesus when he's about 30 to 33. And John, we read last week, has that beautiful hymnody and poem that talks about the Word becoming flesh and not being accepted by the people that the Word came to be with and to offer salvation to, and about the Word being the light and life of all the people. Matthew kind of gives us hints of that, doesn't he? Matthew is a gospel that was written for the people who were Jewish. It understands the Jewish mindset. It understands the Hebrew history, their ethnicity, their scriptures. It's constantly quoting their prophets to them. It's offering up the feasts and the festivals without explanation because they're known. And what's known about people of Israel in the time of the birth of Jesus is that they were an oppressed people and they became a very closed people. You were either Jewish or you were a Gentile. And if you were a Gentile, they didn't associate with you. They were forced to some degree, because Rome occupied them. And they had to go pay their taxes, and they had to do things like have the Roman soldiers have a fortress higher than their temple so the soldiers could look down in their temple and see what they were doing. But Gentiles didn't go into the temple, and Gentiles weren't part of the promised people. They weren't allowed access to God and the salvation that God promised. Now, in the gospel according to John, he says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among the people, but the people to whom the Word came to did not accept him. And so the Word went to all the people. Matthew says, there were people from afar who had a different training and a different religion and a different understanding, and they studied the stars. And they were seekers of the truth. And they saw a star and they started following it. And being respectful, civilized, educated people, and maybe people who'd heard about how terrible Herod could be, they decided to stop first in Jerusalem and get the king's permission. Y'all know this. I see heads nodding. Yeah, and get king's permission. And Herod's like, I don't know what they're talking about, right? You know how you present, like, you know, and then you later on go find out. That's what Herod did. He went and he called everybody together, because we remember that though Herod was Jewish, he really didn't practice. And they all studied and they came back to Herod and they said, well, we think it's Bethlehem, and we think it's, you know, apparently now, right? Because there's this light. So then the Magi, as we call them, shared with Herod the time that they noticed the star. Herod made note of that. And then he sent them to Bethlehem. He sent them to Bethlehem, where even though they were not Jewish, they were given access to know where Jesus was. And they found him, and they worshiped him, and they had an epiphany. They encountered the divine, and they were changed because of it. They found what they were searching for. An empty space inside them was filled. And that's borne out in the fact that they had a dream, and God spoke to them in the dream, and they did not go back to Jerusalem, but left by another way. Well, we didn't read the rest of the story. You know how this is. We read snippets of the story, right? The rest of the story is Herod found out they left, and he got mad. And he figured about how long it was that they'd been gone and about how long they'd been looking for the star. And he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem. And every child under the age of 3 was killed. That's how terrified Herod was of Jesus. But Mary and Joseph were warned in a dream. And they took the baby, the young child, and they went to Egypt. Remember beloved Joseph? Escaped death and went to Egypt. You remember how Joseph being there bought favor upon them through Pharaoh? And so then when his family was destitute and desperate, they came to Egypt and he saved them. But then hundreds of years later, it wasn't safe in Egypt anymore to be Hebrew. And Moses, to save his life, was hidden and put in a basket out on a river. And he was raised by Pharaoh's household. But then he took the Hebrew people away from Egypt, away from slavery, and into salvation. Do you see any parallels here in what Matthew's telling us? Yeah, lots. This is the one, he's saying. This is the one who escaped death at such an early age by going to Egypt, but then when it wasn't good there, was brought back. This is the one. This is the one of God whose own people were more threatened by him than they were willing to accept him as God's son. Wow. This is the one. This is God with us. God coming to earth, being fully human, that God might reach us. And all these years later, there are still people who seek. Might be some of us here. Maybe one time we were seekers. Maybe right now we've kind of drifted away and we're seeking also. Or maybe we just need to be reminded that God reaches out to us and offers that we sometimes hunger for so desperately. It doesn't matter whether we're born Jewish or whether we come from afar or whether we're the Gentiles that Paul is ministering to, or whether our ancestry goes way back to the tribes of Israel. God reaches out to us and invites us into a relationship with God, a relationship of love and truth and light. Have you ever had that place in your life where that emptiness inside, that hunger, that there's got to be more than this. There's got to be something else I was meant to do. There's got to be some other truth that's bigger than me. That's seeking. It means that we have an emptiness that only God can fill. And while God's reaching out and inviting, it's up to us to begin the journey. If you've had that kind of a journey, remember what that was like. That turning and embracing and opening up. The sense of peace that comes when the truth is given to you. And no matter how many times we come to the manger on Christmas, we still need an epiphany. We still need that divine intersection with our lives that brings us the truth and the hope and the life and the light. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee, O Lord." That's what seekers do. They're restless. And they're looking to rest in the Lord. I give thanks that each of you have probably at one time been a seeker. That's why you're here today, except those who came because, no, I'm sure you have been too. We're here because we were seekers, or maybe we're still in a place of seeking, or maybe we just need to be reminded of the God that loves us so much that we want to tell the story over and over again of the three people who, through whatever intelligence or spirituality they had, sought God and followed until they had that encounter. And their truth was given to them, and they were filled with hope and light and life, just as we have been. Amen.